Wonderful. Wow. Welcome to Soul Food Festival. And listen, Sunday is definitely a day for us to celebrate, right? You see so many people come up here, grab a crunchies from us to celebrate. They have a new jobs, right? Anniversaries, birthdays. Wow, we have so many immigrants here. It's not easy for us to find a job in this place, right? But by God's grace, He opened doors for us. He made a way for us. And also because of the hospitality, because of the friendship of Kiwis, they welcome us. Man, I just want to take a moment to extend my gratitude to all the Kiwis in this room. Thank you so much. Thank you for making us feel home in this country. And listen, when we first come here, it's not easy for any young people, young immigrants, you know, university students to find their first job. So we've all been through there. You know, we have to start from the bottom. We have to do the jobs other people don't want to do. I remember 20 years ago when I first started working for a construction company, and I was graduated already from the university, okay? So I went to this company, tried to learn how to build house. But on my first day on the job, my boss had me doing nothing but cleaning the floor, collecting all the rubbish and threw it in the bin. And I thought, hey, maybe he was testing me, okay? It's just a test. It's not a big deal. I'm going to show him my work ethic for 3 weeks. Okay, 3 weeks is a long-term commitment for me. And after 3 months, man, I was still cleaning the floor, collecting rubbish, throwing it into the bin. After 6 months, I was still doing the same rubbish work. After 9 months, when my boss asked me to clean the floor, I feel like throw him into the bin. No, I didn't do it. I didn't do it, okay? I hated it. I didn't like it back then. But now when I look back, that was the time God was teaching me serious life lessons about perseverance, humility, being faithful in small things. Work hard. Play hard. So here's the thing. We all went through this period. But now, little do I know, God was actually preparing me for something greater in the future through everything I was doing back then. Maybe today you are in the transition season, starting a new career, coming to a new city, embarking on a new journey. And you might feel like, oh, things are harder than my expectation. Hey, my friends, let me tell you this. Through everything you are doing now, God is preparing you for something greater in the future. So don't give up. Don't give up. God is preparing you now. So today we are diving into the book of Daniel. Daniel is a man who was facing tough times throughout his life, especially in his early ages. However, this guy always trusting God. And he never gave up. So eventually, he was elevated from a servant boy all the way to the prime minister in the foreign country. So I believe we can all learn something valuable from this man's story. So there are valuable lessons we can learn from today's scriptures. So today's sermon is called Trusting God's Guidance. Trusting God's Guidance. Let me give you a little bit of context about Daniel's story. In the 6th century BC, the Babylonians conquered Jerusalem. They took thousands of Jewish people as captives. So Daniel and his generation were forced to leave Jerusalem, and they ended up in the country called Babylon. Before the exile, before this tragedy happened, God had spoken to Daniel's generation probably 20 to 40 years before and through the prophet Jeremiah. In Jeremiah 29, verse 7, it says, "Seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper." Hey, none of us here were forced to come to New Zealand, right? Well, I don't mind if New Zealand immigration told me, "Hey, Shane, we want you to be here. Stay here. I offer you a job to do." But they didn't, okay? But no matter where we are from, we are all here for one reason in common. We want a better future for ourselves and our families. Today, we're living in a very different time from Daniel's time. But here's the thing, the principle of God remains the same. When we are in a new place surrounded by different people, God brings peace to us as we make peace with others. God prospers us as we prosper the people around us. God will lead us to a better future as we strive for a better future for the local society. Now let's see, how did God lead Daniel to a better future in a foreign country? The book of Daniel documented his 3 years of high standard training before entering the king's service, because Daniel and his friends, they were chosen to serve the king. Before that, they had went through 3 years of training, learning the language and literature of the Babylonians. During this time, the Bible tells us, let's go to Daniel 1, verse 17. "To these four young men, Daniel and his three friends, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. It was God's will to equip him with such knowledge and wisdom." So it seems like God was intentionally preparing Daniel for something greater in the future. So the first lesson we can learn from here is, when God leads, be prepared. When God leads us, be prepared. You know, preparation is an act of faith. Because you won't prepare for something if you don't believe it's going to happen. You will not bring your umbrella with you today if you don't think it's going to rain. So being prepared demonstrates our faith that God is leading us towards our destination. So here's what happened to Daniel after 3 years of preparation. Daniel 1, verses 19 to 20. "The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service. They passed the interview in every matter of wisdom and understanding of which the king questioned them. He found them 10 times better than all the magicians' enchanters in his whole kingdom." Wow. So they passed the interview, and Daniel became one of the best in the whole kingdom. So that marks the pivotal moment of Daniel's life in Babylon. From that point on, his career was going uphill all the way. So everything he had gone through, he had done during the 3 years of preparation, was worthwhile. So for those of us who speak English as a second language, there are two hardest things for immigrants when we first came to this country. Number one, answering the phone. Man, that was scary. Man, 20 years ago, when the phone rang, they didn't tell you who was ringing until you pick it up. But thank God, people don't ring you on the phones anymore nowadays. So we don't need to do that very often. The number two hardest thing for immigrants, reading the English menu in a restaurant. Wow. When I first came here, every time I went to the restaurant, when the waiter came to me and asked, "Can I take your order for your lunch now? Because you've been sitting here since breakfast reading the menu." So I was like, "Can I have a soup of the day?" "I don't want soup of the day. I hate soup of the day. But that's the only thing I can understand on the menu." Man, this is so different from where I'm from. When you go to a Chinese restaurant, we put photos on the menu. Oh, we put photos on the menu because we don't know how to call our dishes in English either. So the photos help both you and us. It's a win-win situation. If you go to a big Chinese Yamcha restaurant, okay, Aucklanders, even better, there's no menu. We show you all the food on trolley like a flight attendant. Right? How wonderful is that? We serve your food first and then tell you what you just ate. Yes, that's a chicken feet. No, you can't return, okay? You already touched it. So this is so different. So different between cultures. Answering the phone, reading the English menu. Man, if you are a Christian, there are third hardest thing for you here. Praying in English. Wow. Praying is even harder than preaching in English for me. Because I can practice my sermon, right? But prayer is spontaneous. Every time when people come to me, "Shane, can you pray for me?" I feel like the waiter asking me, "Can I take your order now? Can I give you prayer of the day? Just the same prayer for everyone?" Every time when people ask me to pray, I want to run away. I just want to run away because of fear. Yes, fear. We got to be very careful about fear. Because this kind of fear, fear of people's response, fear of circumstance, fear of challenges, is not from God. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. The Apostle Paul says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Fear is not from God. So if we run away from a challenge, or if we run away from our circumstance, we're probably running away from God. God wants us to face it, overcome it. One day in 2018, that was probably 5 years ago, and our previous lead pastor is Pastor Mike. Okay, I took over the leadership from him, and on July last year, Mike is now our executive pastor overseeing across campus. Mike said to me in 2018 one day, he says, "Shane, if one day you are going to step into the full-time ministry, I want you to understand one thing. I don't need you to become a Chinese pastor. I need you to reach out to the people from all around the world." And that was the moment I realized, I need to face my fear. I need to overcome my fear, because God's plan is bigger than mine. So since 2018, I made up my mind. From now on, every day in my quiet time, well, if you are not Christians, quiet time is the time for us. It's the routine for Christians to pray, to read our Bible. So I do my quiet time every morning. If I don't do my quiet time every morning, I'm a very bad person. So since 2018, I made up my mind. From now on, in my quiet time, I only pray in English and read the English Bible. I remember after the first morning of my English prayer, I thought to myself, maybe I should translate my prayer in Chinese to God. I don't think he understands what I just prayed.
And then I thought, hey, if God can understand my prayer in tongue, He can understand my prayer in English. That has been the pattern of my quiet time in the past 5 years. I'm not saying that, hey, my English prayers sound fantastic. Listen, my prayer in English will never sound as good as Kiwi's. But here's the thing. I don't fear anymore. I don't fear anymore. I don't need to offer you prayer of the day anymore. I don't need to drink soup of the day anymore. Because I don't fear anymore. So friends, if you don't fear anymore, nothing can stop you from arriving the destination God is leading. Every day, I take a small step toward my destination. So after 5 years, those small steps have become a huge journey. Every day, Daniel began his training in Babylon with small steps. After 3 years, he became one of the best in the whole kingdom. Preparation begins with small steps. Preparation begins with small steps. Now, let me ask you this question. What small steps can you start taking today to prepare for your destination? What small steps can you start taking today to prepare for your destination? God will open doors for you any moment from now, but you need to be prepared. So the second lesson I would like to share with you from the book of Daniel is, when the door opens, walk through it. When the door opens, walk through it. No hesitation. Daniel 2, verses 1 to 2. Now in the second years of Nebuchadnezzar had dreams, and his spirit was so troubled that his sleep left him. Then the king gave the command to all the magicians, astrologers, the sorcerers, and the chaldeans to tell the king his dreams. So he basically commanded all the wise men to come to his palace to explain this dream to him, because this dream is so troubling and he couldn't even sleep well. However, when all the wise men arrived in the palace, they asked the king, hey, king, please tell us your dream so that we can explain it to you. Wow, the king was not a very nice man. He gave them a very extreme challenge by saying, no, I'm not going to tell you my dream. You guys need to prove yourselves. If you really know things others don't know, you tell me my dream and then interpret it to me. Otherwise, I'm going to kill all of you. What? The wise man says, oh, come on, dream. No, dream. Come on, king. It's a nightmare. Okay, anyway. King, nobody ever asked us to do things like that. It's ridiculous. It's a mission impossible. Only God knows that. So the king was very angry in Daniel 2, verse 12. For this reason, the king was angry and very furious and gave the command to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. Daniel was still very young back then. He was not among those men in the palace, but his name was on the list as well. However, here was his action when he heard what happened to the king. Daniel 2, verse 24. Then Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to execute the wise men of Babylon, and said to him, do not execute the wise men of Babylon. Take me to the king, and I will interpret his dreams for him. So first of all, Daniel is not doing that just for himself. Remember, God says, seek peace and prosperity for the city. If it prospers, I will prosper you. You bring peace among people, God will bring peace to your life. Daniel literally bring peace to the country. Save all the wise men together. Take me to the king. When nobody wants to go through the door, I'm going to do it. My question is, where did Daniel get such courage and confidence? You're just a young man. Of course, from God. This courage and confidence is from God. Daniel had asked his friend to pray together to God. Before that, the Bible says, let's get back to Daniel 2, verses 19. A few days before that, during the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in the vision. God revealed the king's dream to him. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven. Thank you, God. I get it. I can do it now. So friends, you see, what we can learn from this story is God's open door is not always decorated with a red carpet in the front. It doesn't always seem pretty at first. Just like those wise men, they complained. It's too hard. It's impossible. Many people, they see the God's open door as too narrow. Come on, God. The chance is too slim. So they chose not to work through it. Why does God always throw us tough tasks? Why does God always give us the assignment beyond our ability? Well, listen to me, my friends, because God wants you to witness His power in your lives. If we only choose to do the things we can handle by ourselves, how can we become God's testimony in this world? Every Christian wants to become a powerful testimony of God in our lives, right? We all want to be there, but God, where is my testimony? Where's my testimony? Well, your testimony is on the other side of the door. If you want to have one, you need to go through it first. In today's society, in the age of social medias, man, we got so many experts, influencers, celebrities. You know, they don't know God, they don't believe in God, but they love to give you life lessons, right? Love to teach you life advice. But here's a powerful truth here, my friends. If we choose to follow those so-called wise men, we will be always staying on this side of the door. They are not going to lead us, go through the door. We are not going to experience God's power if we only follow the advice of wise men. Are you following wise men or God? Daniel didn't follow the wise man. He followed God. He knew it was tough. It was hard. But he didn't complain. He didn't run away. He gathered his friends, prayed to God. Let's seek God first. Because we trust God's guidance. We follow God. Here's the thing. Every open door comes with challenges, right? That's the reality of life. Every opportunity comes with challenges. But here's the good news for all of us. God already has a solution before He invites us to go through the door. Let me say again, God already has a solution before He invites us to go through the door. Before Daniel met the king, God had already revealed the dream to him the night before.
Before Daniel interpreted the dream,
God already equipped this young man with all the understanding and wisdom about visions and dreams during the 3 years of training. God already has a solution for us before he invites us to go through the door. After Daniel met the king was so surprised. It was a mind-blowing experience for him. Daniel 2, verses 47. The king said to Daniel, "Surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and the revealer of mysteries. For you were able to reveal this mystery." Wow. So friends, the new circumstances you are in now are not new to God. The new challenges you are facing now are not new for God. They might seem too overwhelming to you, okay, even to the wise man, but they are not overwhelming to God. Because our God is God of gods, God of the kings, and the God who reveals mysteries to our life. So when the door opens, work through it. At the end of the story, the Bible tells us this. Team, please come up here. Daniel 2, verse 48. Then the king placed Daniel in a high position and lavished many gifts on him. He made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon and placed him in charge of all its wise men. You see, the king made Daniel the ruler, okay, the second man of the kingdom, and placed him in charge of all its wise men. Daniel was in the position to lead all the wise men who didn't believe the same God as he did. But Daniel was appointed as the leader. That's the thing I want to tell all the Christians here today. Christians, we should be confident to take the leadership roles in the secular world. Today, when we're talking about Christian leaders, we are not just talking about church pastors, missionaries, ministry leaders. No. My brothers and sisters, we're living in a time we need more leaders who have faith in God, who can uphold Christian values in every aspect of the society. We need more Christian leaders in governments. We need more Christian leaders in schools, universities, in workplaces. Let me tell you this. If your calling is in the workplaces, listen to this. Your calling is as significant as that of a full-time pastor in God's kingdom. Because you are a soldier on the front line. You are God's worker in his harvest field. You are a missionary in your office. You are an evangelist in your community. Your calling in your workplace is as significant as a full-time pastor. So here's the thing. We need to step up. We need to be confident to fight, to compete. Step up, brothers and sisters. Be prepared. Walk through the doors whenever God opened it for us. As I wrap up today's sermon, I want to take a moment to talk to those who don't know God yet. Or maybe you once followed Jesus, but for some reason you are far from him now. I want you to know everything you have went through in life, God is preparing you for something greater in the future. God will definitely open the door for you, but you cannot walk through it by yourself. You need the power of God. You need the power of the Spirit with you. The Bible teaches us that we are all sinners. We all fall short of God's glory, God's standards. Our sins separated us from God. That's why we feel God is so far away from us. But the good news is, by God's grace, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to this world, died for us on the cross. As Jesus died, He offered us a brand new life now, a hope for your future, forgiveness for your past, an eternal life with God in heaven. Friends, if today you want your life to be changed, you want to be equipped with the understandings and wisdoms of all kinds, you remember this. The God who gave Daniel wisdom, understandings, gifts, abilities, were the same God here with you today. So I want to encourage you to receive Jesus as your Lord and your Savior today. All you need to do now is to pray a very simple prayer in your heart by following me. I will pray out loud so that you can hear. Are you ready? Now let's pray together. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. I know I'm a sinner, and I know you died for me. Today, I choose to turn away from my old life and turn to you. Please come to my life to be my Lord and my Savior. I choose from today to live for you and follow you. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. So friends, if you just pray that prayer, congratulations. Your life will never be the same again. I want to encourage you to take one more step of faith. I'm going to count from 1 to 3. If you just pray that prayer and you mean it, after I count 3, I want you to raise your hand. I'm not doing this to call you out. I just want to acknowledge your hand and then you can put it down. Now I'm going to count 1, 2, 3. If you just pray that prayer, I see your hand, you can put it down, brother. God bless you. Anyone, you can put it down. God bless you. God bless you, young man. You can put it down. Anyone on this side, you can put it down, brother. God bless you. I see you. Anyone, we got 4 men raise their hands. Thank you, lady. God bless you. You can put it down. 5 people. That's amazing. You can put it down. I see you. God bless you. You can put it down, lady. I see you. 6. Thank you, God. Let's pray together for those people. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. We know you just touched their hearts. Lord, we pray that you will continue to guide them. Because today they put their trust in you. They trust in your guidance, Lord. And surround them with people who have faith in you. Like Daniel's friends. We can pray together. We can seek you together. We can support one another together. Lord, transform their life. And make them a blessing in their family, in their community. Thank you, Lord. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you.